This, I believe, Bunter, is what one refers to as a frozen desolation.
Yes, indeed, sir. I've never been very keen on the Fen country, if you don't mind my saying so, sir. Especially on New Year's Eve.
Snow's really coming down like billio now, ain't it?
I say, sir, isn't that bridge going to prove rather tricky?
Which bridge? Oh, this one. Hold tight. Oh, that's torn it. You all right, Bunter?
Yes, my lord. I appear to be unscathed.
I'm glad to hear it. Oh, sorry about that, old lad. Just awkward. Well, let's consult the map and see where we are. Now then, where do you suppose we've got to, Bunter?
I think, my lord, we must have run off the proper road at Leamholt. Unless I'm much mistaken, we must be near the village of Fenchurch St. Paul's.
I say, listen. Oh, thank God. Listen to that, Bunter. Where there is a church, there is civilization. Well, we'll have to walk it. Never mind the suitcases, we'll send somebody for them. Oh, I say. Yeah, a bit cold, right? I bet when Kingsley welcomed the wild nor'easter, he was sitting indoors by a good fire eating muffins. I could do with a muffin myself. Next time I accept hospitality in the Fen country, I'll take care that it's midsummer, or else I'll go by train. Well, the church lies to windward of us, I fancy. Yes, it would.
I believe there is a car approaching, my lord.
Good gracious, sir, there is. I say, that's a bit of luck.
Can I be of any assistance?
Oh, good evening. I'm afraid my car is in the ditch, as you see. It'll certainly need ropes and haulage to get it back on the road again.
Dear, dear. Drog's Bridge is a most dangerous place, especially in the dark. We must see what can be done about it. Let me give you a lift into the village.
Yeah, that's very good of you, sir.
Not at all, not at all. I'm just getting back to my tea. I'm sure you must be wanting something to warm you up. Now, come along, then.
Ah, thank you.
I trust you're not in a hurry to reach your destination. We should be delighted to put you up in the rectory for the night.
Yes, most kind of you, but really I wouldn't wish to trespass upon your hospitality.
My dear sir, pray don't think twice about it. We see so little company here that I assure you, you will be doing my wife and myself a very great favour.
In that case...
Excellent. Well, we have ample accommodation in the rectory. It's too much indeed, too much. My name, by the way, is Venables. I should have mentioned it earlier. I am, as you would have gathered, rector of the parish of Fenchurch St. Paul.
My name is Whimsy, and this is my man, Bunter.
Delighted to meet you. Whimsy? I know the name seems familiar. Lord Peter Whimsy?
Correct.
Have I not heard of you in connection with... I have it. Notes on the collection of incunabula. Of course. A very scholarly little monograph, if I may say so.
Thank you.
Yes, dear me. It'll be charming to exchange impressions with another book collector. Dreadful weather, isn't it? There's a lot of influenza about at the moment. Such a nasty, depressing complaint. You must have this wrapped about your legs.
Oh, thank you. Most kind.
Fortunate that my husband should have met you, Lord Peter. I always say these roads are perfect death traps.
Thank you, Mrs. Venables, but there's no harm done. We stupidly ran off the road. Thank you.
You wanted me, Mom?
Ah, yes, Emily. Take this gentleman's manservant into the kitchen and make him comfortable.
Yes, Mom.
Oh, and Emily, arrange for Wilderspin to get Lord Peter's car out of the dike. Oh,
tomorrow morning will do for that.
Oh, to be sure. First thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
Ezra Wilderspin is the blacksmith. An excellent fellow. He'll see to the matter most competently.
Splendid.
Agnes, my dear, have you explained to Emily that Lord Peter will be staying the night?
Yes, that'll be all right. Oh, I do hope, Theodore, that you've not caught cold.
No, my dear, I've been well wrapped up. Dear me, yes. Ah, now, what do I see? Muffins.
I was just wishing for muffins. Oh, how jolly all this looks. Really, Mrs. Venables, it's tremendously good of you to take pity upon us. I feel like Ulysses come to port after much storm and peril.
My husband has asked you to stay the night, Lord Peter, but he ought to have mentioned that you will get very little sleep being so close to the church. But perhaps you do not mind the sound of bells.
Not at all.
My husband is a very keen change ringer, and as this is New Year's Eve...
We hope to accomplish a real feat tonight, or rather, I should say, tomorrow morning. We intend to ring the New Year in with... you are perhaps aware that we possess here one of the finest rings in the country.
Indeed. Yes, I believe I have heard of the Fenchurch bells.
There are perhaps a few heavier rings, but I hardly know where you would rival us for fullness and sweetness of tone.
Is it a full ring of eight?
Oh, yes, yes. The tenor, Taylor Paul, was actually cast in a field next to the churchyard in 1614.
Really?
Yes, you can still see the depression in the earth where the mould was made.
And have you a good set of ringers?
Very good indeed. Excellent fellows and most enthusiastic. Oh, that reminds me. I was about to say, we have arranged to ring in the new year tonight with no less than 15,840 statements. Now, what do you think of that? It's not bad, eh?
Bless my heart. 15,000?
840. 9 hours' work.
Well, that's equal to the great performance of the college youths in 1800 and something.
1886.
Indeed.
And that is what we aim to emulate.
Good gracious me.
If you please, sir.
What is it, Emily?
If you please, sir, could James Thoday speak to you for a moment?
James Thoday? Why, certainly, of course. Put him in the study, Emily, and I'll be there in a moment. Please excuse me.
Certainly, Padre.
Do have some more tea, Lord Peter, and perhaps another muffin.
Oh, this is a most irreparable disaster.
Good gracious, Theodore, what in the world is the matter?
It's William Thoday. Oh, his brother Jim has just brought me the most terrible news. All the nights in the year. Oh, I ought not to think of myself, I know, but it is a bitter disappointment, a bitter disappointment.
Why, what has happened to Will Thoday?
Struck down by this wretched scourge of influenza. Quite helpless, very delirious. Well, they've sent for Dr. Bates.
Oh, dear.
It appears that he felt unwell this morning, but insisted most unwisely on driving into Walbeach on some business or other. Most fortunately, George Ashton met him in the town, saw how bad he was, and insisted on coming back with him. Now he's in a high fever and worrying all the time because he cannot get to the church tonight.
Oh.
Well, well, what cannot be cured must be endured. But this is our last hope gone. We shall be reduced to ringing miners.
Is this man one of your ringers then, Padre?
Unfortunately, he is. And with this flu epidemic, there is now no one to take his place. Oh, our grand scheme will have to be abandoned. And even if I were to take a bell myself, I could not possibly ring for 9 hours. And I'm not getting any younger. Oh, well, man proposes and God disposes. And this, Lord Peter, I mean, you were speaking just now. That is to say, you are not yourself, by any chance, a ringer?
Well, I used at one time to pull quite a pretty rope. But whether at this time of day...
Oh, it will come back to you. It will come back.
Theodore, is it quite fair to ask Lord Peter, after a motor accident and at the end of a tiring day, to stay up ringing bells from midnight to 9 o'clock?
No, nothing would please me more, Mrs. Venables. I don't really need any rest. I would far rather ring bells all day and all night. Well, Bunter, that looks a nice bed, but I am not, unfortunately, fitted to sleep in it.
So I understand from the young woman, my lord.
It's a pity you can't relieve me of the rope, Bunter.
I assure your lordship that for the first time in my existence, I regret that I've no practical study of campanology.
You know, I am always delighted to find that there are things that you can't do, Bunter. Did you ever try?
Only once, my lord, and on that occasion an accident was only narrowly averted. Owing to my unfortunate lack of manual dexterity, I was very nearly hanged by the rope.
Well, that's enough about hanging, old lad. I don't want to talk shop.
Certainly not, my lord. Does your lordship desire to be shaved?
Thank you, Bunter. Let's start the new year with a clean face, what?
Because man may praise the Lord in many different ways. Praise him in the cymbals and the dances. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. And what better way for us in Fenchurch St. Paul to praise our Maker than upon the beautiful bells of our beloved church.
Aye.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And now it will soon be midnight.
Is
Exactly 1 minute to go, Padre.
Ah, then to your stations, everyone.
It'll be thirsty work, this will.
The needs of the body have not been forgotten, Ezra. The landlord of the Red Cow has once again provided us with ample beer to see us through the night.
Thank you, Vicar.
Thank you. Good luck to you all. Good luck, Lord Peter.
Thank you, Padre.
How fortunate that you should have been sent to us. I hardly think this is what men call chance.
30 seconds.
Everybody ready?
Yes,
right. Hezekiah, sound the nine tailors. Nine tailors, the passing of man. The year is dead. Let the bells keep turning. Let the bells keep time. Little Gaudi, Silver Sabaoth, Strong John and Jericho, Glad Jubilee, Sweet Dimity, Old Batty Thomas, and Great Taylor Paul. Let us hear your voices. He rode upon the cherubim and did fly. He came flying upon wings of the wind. Ezra, you're doing well. Keep at it. Keep at it.
Tis a joyful work, Rector. A joyful work.
It is. Tis indeed, Ezra. Harry, well, you look absolutely tireless.
Oh, I said.
Wally, I would never have known you to be a beginner.
Oh.
Well done, my dear boy.
Sir.
Ah, Lord Peter, I do hope you're not too exhausted.
Far from it. Only rather dry. A condition I see your good wife intends to remedy forthwith.
A glass of beer, Lord Peter, just to sustain you through the night.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Venables. Miss, welcome. Would you take the rope from Emmett, Padre?
Yes, of course.
Ah. Oh, I say, most refreshing.
It's surprising, isn't it, how soft and mellow it sounds in here? But, of course, there's another floor between us and the bell chamber.
I wanted to show Lord Peter the bell chamber, my dear, before we started, but I couldn't find my keys. Mr. Godfrey was nowhere to be found.
You'll have to excuse my husband, Lord Peter. He's really rather forgetful.
Yes, I suppose I am, really. Especially with keys.
Well, back to work. Thank you, Mrs. Venables. Oh. Thank you, Padre.
The sun has risen on a new day and another year. But we're almost there, lad. Almost there. Tin, tan, din, dan, bim, bam, bom, bo. And the trebles in the last lead. And that's it. Magnificent, lad. Magnificent. You've done it, and it couldn't have been better done. Oh, as firm and as true as any ringing I've ever heard. Well done, Ezra.
Thank you, Rector.
Hezekiah, well done, everybody. Oh, where's Lord Peter? Oh, there you are. Oh, I'm sure we owe you a very great deal. Not too fatigued, I hope.
No. No, I'm perfectly all right.
Breakfast. Breakfast is what we all want.
Yes, please.
That's all ready for you at the rectory. Now come along then, everyone. Come along.
Excuse me, sir.
Why, Johnson, what are you doing here?
Sir Henry sent me to say, sir, that Lady Thorpe is very bad this morning. They're afraid she's a sinking fast, sir. She's very anxious to receive the sacrament, if you could see your way.
Oh, good heavens. Not so ill as that. I'm terribly grieved to hear it. Of course, I will come immediately. Lord Peter, you please excuse me? I'll be with you later.
Toll of the passing bell.
Yes, poor Lady Thorpe. She was only 37, you know. It's all very sad, very sad.
I heard one of your ringers say something about a burglary at her house.
Burglary? Oh, no. Ah, oh, my goodness, yes. He must have been referring to the loss of the Wilbraham emeralds. Oh, but that was 15 or 16 years ago. Yes, the year of the Great War. April 1914, if I remember correctly.
That sounds fascinating. Tell me more, Padre.
It was an emerald necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened when Sir Henry and Lady Thorpe were getting married. Well, as you can imagine, there were a number of grand guests came from London for the occasion. One of them was an old lady called Mrs. Wilbraham. She'd come to stay at the Thorpes, and the very night after the wedding, when Sir Henry and his new wife were already on their honeymoon, Mrs. Wilbraham's necklace was stolen. It caused something of a stir at the time.
I can imagine.
Well, the worst part of it was that one of the Thorpes' own servants was involved in it. When Jeff Deacon was arrested, and they discovered what he'd done.
Who was Jeff Deacon?
Oh, he was the butler. It turned out that he got in touch with the jewel thief in London, and together they planned the robbery. Deacon had been with the household for 6 years. He was married to the housemaid, Mary. She's Mrs. Thoday now, of course. Married to Will Thoday.
The fellow who's down with influenza?
That's right.
Then Deacon is dead now, I take it?
That's correct. Uh-huh. Quite correct, yes. Unfortunately, old Mrs. Wilbraham hadn't insured the necklace. Very silly of her. And Sir Henry felt duty-bound to pay the cost of it. And I'm afraid that's a financial blow from which the family has never quite recovered.
And didn't they catch the burglar?
Not for some considerable time. Ah, yeah, my wife.
Theodore, you know very well you shouldn't be walking round the garden in this weather without a muffler on. Oh, really, Theodore, you are difficult.
Winter sunshine, Agnes. Most delightful. Not to be missed.
Lord Peter, are you sure you're not frozen to death out here?
Far from it, thank you, Mrs. Venables.
Hmm. Well, you'll have lunch, of course, before you go. Can you eat shepherd's pie?
Most certainly.
Right. I'll see you in 5 minutes. And, Theodore, do please try not to be late.
Yes, dear.
Where were we? Yes, the burglar.
What? Oh, yes, 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 the Wilbraham emerald. Well, the police eventually caught the burglar. Seemed to be rather a well-established jewel thief from London. But Deacon was definitely identified as the inside man. I believe that's what you call it.
So I believe.
Well, they arrested him one Sunday morning, just as he was coming out of church. Most terrible incident, Lord Peter. He struggled so hard. I mean, he nearly killed a constable.
And what was the name of the London thief, Deacon's accomplice?
I believe he was called Cranton. Yes, Nobby Cranton. That was the name.
Cranton. What became of the emeralds?
Oh, they were never found. There's been no trace of them to this day.
I suppose Deacon and Nobby Cranton both went to jail for a good long stretch, right?
Oh, yes. His then Jeff Deacon died.
In prison?
No. I believe he escaped after killing a warder. It's a most wicked person, Deacon. That was in 1918. But he benefited very little from it because he fell into a quarry somewhere near Maidstone. He was in Maidstone jail, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And they found his body 2 years later, still in prison clothes.
What a jolly tale. I suppose it was all rather brave of Jeff Deacon's widow to stay on in the village.
Oh, but she left the village. And then when the news of her husband's death came through, young Will Thoday went after her and married her and brought her back to the village. And that was 10 years ago. And they've 2 children now. Very happy couple. A delightful couple.
And our jewel thief, Nobby Cranton, is he still in jail?
Possibly. But he may be out by now. Quite honestly, I don't wish to remember it very often.
No, quite.
The whole episode cast rather a cloud over the Thorpe family.
Mm.
And now Lady Thorpe's untimely death, it's all very sad, very sad.
What about Lady Thorpe? Does she leave any family?
There's one daughter, Hilary. Mm-hmm. She'll be 15 this month, a most sweet child. She's just come home from school for the holidays. Oh, dear me, certainly been a very sad holiday for her.
Indeed. Well, it's certainly an interesting tale.
Theodore, where are you? Lunch
lunch is ready.
But one I fear we must conclude for the moment.
Yes, yes, I rather fear so.
Good news for you, Lord Peter. Ezra Wilderspin has repaired your car, and it should be ready for the road immediately after lunch.
Excellent, Mrs. Venables. I am most grateful. Really most grateful.
Do come again, Lord Peter, and help us ring another peal.
I certainly shall. You've been most kind.
Goodbye, Lord Peter. Drive carefully.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thaw's come in, Bunter.
Yes, my lord.
Ever seen this part of the country when the floods are up?
No, my lord.
It looks pretty desolate. Acres of water with just a bank running across it here and there, or a broken line of willows. Ah, look over there. That must be Van Leyden's sluice that turns the tide up the 30-foot drain. Shouldn't care for the sluice keeper's job. Dashed lonely, I should think. Enough to make one drown oneself in one's own lock, what? Now then, what's this fellow want? Good afternoon.
Excuse me stopping you, sir. Would you be good enough to tell me if I'm going right for Fenchurch St. Paul?
Quite right. Cross the bridge when you come to it and follow the drain along in the direction you're going till you come to the signpost. You can't miss it.
Thank you, sir. How far would that be?
Oh, about 6 miles.
Thanks very much, sir.
You've got a cold walk, I'm afraid.
Yes, sir. Not a nice part of the country. However, I'll be there before dark. That's a comfort.
Like a fag?
Well, thank you very much, sir.
You don't belong to these parts.
No, sir. Driver's the name, sir. Stephen Driver. I'm looking for work.
Labourer?
No, sir. A motor mechanic.
Oh, I see. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Motor mechanic, possibly, but not recently, I think. Stone quarrying is more about the size of it.
Stone quarrying, my lord?
You can always tell an old lag by his eyes, Bunter. Excellent idea to live down the past and all that, but I wonder what an ex-convict can want in Fenchurch St. Paul. That was a most excellent breakfast, but we have a journey to make this morning.
A journey, my lord?
Yes, Bunter. By way of celebrating the arrival of spring. You will recall a village by the name of Fenchurch St. Paul, where we spent a most interesting and unusual New Year.
I've not forgotten it, my lord.
Well, I received a letter this morning from the good rector with some fascinating news. It seems that Sir Henry Thorpe has departed this life only 3 months after his good lady.
That is most sad and unfortunate, my lord, but I hardly see why it requires our return to that particular part of the world.
Ah, but it does, Bunter, it does. The good rector, you see, has requested my assistance. And it is an excellent opportunity, I think, to cancel all social engagements. Kindly do so, Bunter, and then send a telegram to Mr. Venables, indicating that I shall be there in time for the inquest.
There is to be an inquest on the death of Sir Henry?
No, no, Bunter, no, no. On the body in the grave.
The body in what grave, my lord?
The body in Lady Thorpe's grave.
You mean Lady Thorpe's body, my lord?
Ah, no. No, that's just it. You see, according to Mr. Venables, Sir Henry wished to be buried in the same grave as his wife. But when they opened the grave, they found a man's body had been buried there on top of the coffin of the original occupant.
Good heavens! And who is this man, my lord? Does anyone know him?
Well, judging by this letter, Bunter, I rather think his own mother wouldn't know him.